Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. This is Nancy Ryan. Ryan rocks it Asbury Park style. It's another fantastic Thursday. It's the Thursday that I look forward to, twice a month. It feels like I do four shows, though, because I seem to be, like, promoting one week and then doing the show the next. And lately, I've been, like, so busy. I've been, like, getting closer and closer. So it's a lot of preparation, but when the show finally comes, it's just a real thrill for me. So sit back and enjoy my guest this evening. As you know who he is, I have promoted him worldwide. His name is Eric Klein, and he is television, video, and commercial producer and director. And you saw some of the people that he's worked with, but I'll let him tell you all about that. So welcome, Eric, to Ryan Rocks at Asbury Park Style. It's so good to have you.
Yeah, my pleasure, Nancy. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's my pleasure because, like I said, I met you via Facebook, and it's a great tool for really meeting people.
Yeah.
It's opened up such a wide range of opportunities for people to get to know each other worldwide, really. So I'd just like to ask you one question, and then we'll just talk away.
Sure.
Who influenced you the most while you were growing up? And if you could tell us why, that would be great.
Well, you know, I had a cousin, his name is Doc Lawrence, and, you know, he was a singer-songwriter. And I think growing up, when I was about 17 years old, he gave me a guitar. And, you know, that sort of changed the trajectory of my career. You know, I started really listening to Bruce, really, initially, and Bon Jovi, and, you know, all those people from your neck of the woods and Asbury Park and beyond in Jersey there. And
right.
I started to get into music. So I started doing music videos, and that was sort of the impetus of it. And, you know, it worked out pretty well. I mean, I went from going, you know, in college, studying music videos and commercials and documentaries and directing and working in Miami, and then started working at the Box now. In fact, this week is the 26th anniversary of my first professional commercial.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Yeah.
That's quite a time, too. It's a lot of experience for sure. Yes, that's fabulous.
Yeah,
that's
thank
fabulous.
You. Yeah. Yeah, so I would
yeah,
say my,
you're
cousin,
welcome.
My cousins are under mainly influenced me.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, when I saw your, when I started in radio, and mm-hmm. I perused the internet for everything having to do with music, I came upon your page quite early, but, well, we didn't really connect until 2015. I looked back to see when we had our first little conversation. So that was quite
yeah.
a while ago, but I've been in radio 4.5 years, and when I came across your page, and I said, oh, my gosh, I have to send Eric my CD. I am CS will put it on his page because you had so many members, and you were so,
yeah.
as I said, well-versed and experienced in television, video, and everything else as a producer and director. So I wanted to be sure that I sent you that, and then we kind of talked, and you know, it occurred to me, like, I need to have Eric on my show. The thing is, I had gone around Asbury for the first few years and collected so many. I still have a whole box of business cards of artists and groups and producers and filmmakers, everyone that had from roadies to whatever, you know, the major players in the industry. And I still have so many that I haven't even had on my show, but recently I just said, oh, I've got to have Eric on my show because, because, you know, you're working with the big time, and, you know, I was very impressed when you sent me your bio that you have worked, you know, with Eddie Murphy and Mariah Carey. I knew that you had done some Bon Jovi videos and you've worked
mm-hmm.
with Will Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. These are all some of my favorites, and Aerosmith, among others. So you've been very busy and with, you know, the top talent, iconic talent, like, in the world. So I'd like you to kind of tell me how you got into, you know, doing that first. It's always getting that
yeah.
first foot in the door, so to speak.
Yeah, sure, yeah. Thank you for the accolades. So it was sort of interesting, you know, piggybacking off of the, you know, the impetus of how I started, you know, my cousin and getting into music in general. And then, you know, like I said, I studied I studied television, and I was at University of Florida, came down to FIU in Miami, and I graduated, and I had a degree, and you know, working independently, and I had a really good relationship with my professor, and he would let me use the editing suite, albeit it was like 3/4-inch video, very archaic compared to what we have now.
Right.
But, you know, that he was really cool. Let me use it. And so I was editing all hours of the night, Nancy. And literally there was a knock at the door in the middle of the night. I figured it was like a security guard that had thrown me out of the building. And turned out it was a woman that was in one of my classes, you know, when I was going to school there. And I opened the door, and, you know, it was her and this other gentleman and this guy named Max Goose. And so Max had started to look at what I was doing, and we started to, you know, sort of clicked right away. And he worked at this company called Video Jukebox Network. And long and the short of it is, you know, he and I sort of became quick friends, fast friends. And I would say like 6 months later, I got a call from the production department there at Video Jukebox Network, which became The Box. As I said, like, in, you know, the summer of, or the spring, I should say, of 1991, they gave me a shot at doing a commercial. I did this commercial for Giant Records. IC Blue was the name of the artist. And it was 26 years ago this week. So, you know, fate has a way of working itself out. I was privileged in the 90s, you know, when The Box became a really big channel. And you know, before it was sold to MTV2, I got the privilege to sort of rise up in the production world over there and go from freelance to senior producer. And along the way, you know, I mean, we had Les Garland, right? So Les was a legendary figure already in the music business, having been the senior vice president of programming at the beginning of MTV, right? In August of 81.
Right, uh-huh.
Way back in the day. So, I started in Miami, and then they started to send me on the road, and next thing I know is, you know, I'm working in Japan with Mariah Carey, and I'm in England with Aerosmith, and, you know, it was a really amazing time in my early 20s.
Oh, yeah, that must be great. It's like, pinch yourself, you know. I've had some of those experiences, not quite like yours, but I've had some experiences where, like, I was at Madison Square Garden. I was like about a few feet away from like David Bowie, and I was backstage at so many big rock concerts, and those were my kind of really kudos. And of course, when I heard one of my songs played, oh my God, we're going back many, many years now, a song of mine that I wrote called Can It Be Real? And I heard it on the radio. I had this radio DJ call me, and he said, we want to play one of your songs on the radio, and it's going to be Sunday at a certain time. I think it was 6 p.m. or something. And so I listened to it. I'm telling you, it took me to my knees. I got on my knees. I said, oh, thank you, God, thank you. They called me a fiery redhead from San Diego, and I had to call them and say, wait a minute, you have to correct that. I'm the fiery redhead from Asbury Park, New Jersey, you know. So anyway, that leads me into my next question about you. Are you from Miami, or where are you from originally?
No, I grew up in the suburbs of Boston, Massachusetts, and you know, still a big Patriots fan, Red Sox, Bruins, Celtics. You know, you can take the boy out of Boston, but you can't take the Boston out of the boy, I guess. So, you know, I'm sorry?
No, go ahead. I'm sorry. That was
I grew up there and moved to Florida, you know, in when I was 15 years old. So I graduated high school here. But I really, you know, as far as like getting into the arts and everything, it sort of started when my cousin handed me that guitar, you know. But,
right.
I mean, Boston was a great city, as you know.
Yes, that was, as Dr. Phil would say, a pivotal moment in your life.
Yeah.
You know, my my niece Megan, she graduated from Boston University, BU. So I've never been there, and I kept telling her, Megan, honey, I want to come and visit. And then, you know, how we're all so busy with our own lives, I never did get there. But one of these days, I hope to visit there. Anyway, it's great. I have a friend that I met a musician, a country singer as well in California, because I was in San Diego for 28 years. And he moved to Boston because his wife, he reconnected with his high school sweetheart. They ended up getting married, like, in their later years, and she was from Boston, so they moved back there. And finally, after 2 years there, we kept in touch, and he said, "Oh, Nancy, Kay said it's okay. I'm going back to San Diego. I cannot tolerate this winter." And so he just couldn't stand it. So they were back and forth. But I know how that feels because I'm back here now for 13 years. But getting back to the music business, I was so impressed. I said, how the heck? Wow, he's got like 16,000 people. Well, when I saw it, I mean, you have so many members in your group. And I said, this is the man that, you know, knows how the ins and outs of the music business. So he's a good person to ask questions, you know. I mean, it's really difficult. That, you know, I've been around meeting all the young artists in Asbury Park, and this has been my exact time. I'm a 60s generation girl. So when I came back to New Jersey, it was to take care of my mom, and she passed away. And I'm sorry, because I believe that your mother passed away as well not too long ago, correct?
Yeah.
And I'm so sorry. I saw that, and I really feel for you because, you know, I took care of my mom until she passed away, but it's already been, the time seems to go so fast. It goes slow in the beginning, and then it just goes so fast. But I got back into it. I was supposed, like I said, God, why am I back here? Well, because you promised your mother you'd come back, and there's seven of us, but I'm the oldest girl. And when she passed away, within 6 months, I completed my first, you know, I finally did a CD. And from that, 2 days later, I was in New York City at the Joey Reynolds Show being interviewed about my song, Indecision Keeps Knocking at My Door, which has been in the top 10 Reverb Nation for 4.5 years consecutive. I've been number two. I can't kick out this one group called The Rain. But one thing led to another, to another, to another, and I've done documentaries now. I did a documentary and then met Danny Clinch, and then Danny Clinch came on my show, and it's like the progression, like you never know where your life is going to really lead you, but the journey is what it's all about anyway, not the destination. But and it's led me to where I am now with, you know, talking to you and having like celebrities on, literally celebrities, you know, wanting to be on my radio show. And it's fabulous, and it's all for fun and for free. But I hope someday it leads me to, I don't know, I guess I'll leave that up to God, what he wants from me. But that's what I always say. I can have these desires, but. Okay, so where do you want to go from here? I mean, you've been, you know, I know you want to continue what you're doing, but, like, do you have any projects that are coming up like that? I know you said you've been involved in many reality shows.
Yeah, well, so, you know, it's interesting, you know, when you mentioned my Inside the Music Business group on Facebook. So, you know, I started that, I would say, in 2007, but prior to that, I had written a book and I'd interviewed 40 people in the music business. I wanted to sort of help the aspiring music business professional or the up-and-coming artist. It wasn't really pre-internet, but it was before the internet really changed the music business, before Steve Jobs. You know, I think Steve Jobs, you know, single-handedly changed the music industry when, you know, they made it the singles industry after, you know, everyone was stealing music. Steve Jobs and Apple came along and legitimized the sale of a single through the iPod, right? You remember that in 2002, 2003.
By the way, I watched his movie, and it was very interesting, and also very sad that he passed away, you know, so young.
He was an amazing, you know, brain beyond brains. But, you know, Steve, a lot of artists, you know, you depend on who you talk to, a lot of artists didn't like the fact that, you know, their vision from an album standpoint, you know, an album tells a story, right? A 10 or 12 song album tells a story, especially, you know, people like Springsteen and Bon Jovi and John Eddy and people from you know, your neck of the woods there, Asbury Park, New Jersey. And, you know, these guys are tremendous, and they still are tremendous songwriters and storytellers. So I think, you know, having it reduced down to a single, where, you know, it's easier to buy a single than to buy an album. I think that the music business changed in that moment. And, you know, the people that were established, you know, still had a good chance of selling their album. But I think from a standpoint of, you know, the industry changing. So, you know, we formed this group, the Inside the Music Business group. I had the brand in 2007 when Facebook had been up and going for a while. And, yeah, we amassed, I think we're at 16,000 members now. So it's great. It's a forum for people to exchange ideas and promote their music and all that. And then, you know, I took a few years off and decided to go back into producing television. And one of my college friends, Nick Kornilov, you know, Art Miami, and when Nick and I were college buddies, and he asked me to come up to Palm Beach to sit in on a meeting with his hair salon up in Palm Beach, very high-end salon, and we created a sizzle reel for the salon. It was an amazing thing called Hair Boss. And that sort of started me in you know, the reality show world. I didn't really think I'd get into reality shows, but now, you know, as you said, I'm developing a lot of reality shows and docuseries and things of that nature. And, of course, now, you know, with the internet, Nancy, it's tremendous because you can partner with Hulu or Netflix or whatnot, or Apple Music, of course, now has their first reality series with Planet of the Apps that just launched this week. And so this is a great opportunity out there for storytellers. And so I'm working on six different projects right now. Two are sports-related projects. One's a health project called For the Hip with Doc Rive. And I'm doing a personal injury law show down here in South Florida right now. I'm very much into the, you know, content creation business.
Right. That's great. I had another filmmaker on many years ago. No, well, not many years ago. I actually became, you know, my show is one thing, and it's fabulous. But from the very beginning of my show, one of my first guests was Minister Steve Brigham, who moved in and lives at Tent City. Well, Tent City was demolished not too long ago. However, his friend did a video. He's a video maker, Jack Ballow. And a friend of mine, who's also New Jersey Discover TV, my very good friend, Cal Schwartz, who was everywhere. I say to him, you never, when do you sleep? But anyway, in any case, you know, one thing kind of leads to another, and I got involved, like he invited me to the premiere of the movie about Tent City called Destiny's Bridge, and I watched that, and it was, like, just phenomenal. And I have 10 nonprofits that after the show, when we're finished, I talk about them. I don't talk about them in life. I kind of mention who they are and how to contact them. But I also got involved with, I was an extra in a movie in California, a few movies, and one was with Pierce Brosnan, and then I somehow got involved as an extra here, and the next thing you know, I auditioned for a speaking part. Oh, and before that, I had gotten a documentary from, listen to this, a person in Italy who's a Bruce Springsteen fan, read about me or heard about me and contacted me and said, I understand, you know, everyone, you know, it was almost like you had said to me once, you seem to be well-connected, you know so many people. Well, because I grew up in Asbury Park, and I'm also a musician, I'm a singer-songwriter, and I'm an executive record producer because I produce my own CD, and I have two great, well, anyway, I've got to go up on myself. I think the point I was trying to make is, you know, you take these, you never know where you're going to end up, but I ended up getting a speaking part in a movie that's going to come out probably in September, around September, and it's called That's Life. So, but before that, I did the documentary with this woman, Alessandra DeCampi, from Italy, and it's about Bruce Springsteen and his friends and fans. So, and then she said, well, listen, I have to go now, and I have to interview Danny Clinch. I said, oh, my God, he's such a fabulous musician, and not only that, he's a great photographer. Well, you have to come to Asbury Park before his show moves. It's been for months and months at the new Asbury Hotel, which is huge. It's on the same block as the Wonder Bar. It's two blocks from the beach, from the ocean. Mm. And Danny Clinch has his whole exhibit there. It's called Transparent. And if you want to see you know, Bruce Springsteen and the whole group and Bob Dylan and the biggest, you know, iconic artist. And Danny also comes in on the weekends. They have jam sessions. In fact, he had, when he was on my show, he said, Nancy, grab your guitar, get down here and sing. So I have to get off the phone. I have to get my guitar out and rehearse because I do want to go down there and sing a few songs. People are always asking me, where are you playing? Where are you singing? And I sing with a lot of people. If I go out, I sit in because people go, Ryan, come on up, Nancy, let's sing a song. But I don't really get to do that a lot because I got right into radio. So back to you. And I'm talking. You have to say, Nancy, keep quiet. I want to talk. So these documentaries that you're doing, and now I have such an interest since Joey Reynolds like introduced me to radio. That night I knew I wanted to do radio. And here I am, 4.5 years later, nominated, you know, in the category of top male personality supporting local talent. So I have all these people I'd love you to listen to. What you did back when is exactly kind of what I'm doing in the radio business, is getting, I've had all of the top, the people that are winning now awards, best video of the year, young groups, and some of the older groups as well. But, I mean, I've sang with John Eddie a million times, and you know, but I'm interested in mostly trying to support the very young, you know, Quincy Mumfords and Taylor Totes and Nikki Briers and like all of these. Johnny Pye, who's with Willie Nile. I'm Willie Nile, but I have all these people I'd love for you to listen to. So we'll talk about that, you know, after the show.
Yeah, but, listen. I mean, you know, the independent artists, right? And most of the people in my in that group, in the Inside the Music Business group, you know, there's a tremendous amount of independent artists, and I think that that's clearly now the future of the music business, and you know, the cultivation of those artists and how those artists go from you know being you know anonymous basically to creating a fan base is amazing to me. I mean, some of these people do an amazing job in social media. And, you know, by the time they get on my group and I look at how many views they have in their videos and what they're trying to put out, and they're doing a tremendous job. I mean, so, the internet can be just a tremendous feeding ground. The question sort of becomes, you know, how do you pop your head above the masses, right? And how do you get noticed?
Right.
And there's not one way. I think that's sort of the big question that I get asked, you know, about the music business. There's really not one way to do it, but I will say that the people that perform, the people that, you know, spend money on their own, on themselves, do their own marketing, hire a marketing company, do PR, do videos. I mean, you've got channels like Vevo, right? Vevo is the number one music video platform in the world right now. I mean, there's 2 or 3 billion views a year, Vevo.com. And, you know, totally open to independent artists that, you know, they have high quality music videos. And so there's a tremendous amount of outlets out there now that are giving independent artists a chance. So in a lot of ways, the internet in the last few years has leveled the playing field for the musician community. And certainly, you know, the singer-songwriter community as a whole. And, you know, I look at where you are and, you know, coming from, you know, Bruce and Bon Jovi and John Eddie and the like, and, you know, they still come back, you know, to Jersey and still perform every year, benefit. So, you know, there's sort of a, you know, you come full circle and you look at the careers of some of these guys and, you know, still it's astounding to me how they can sustain, you know, at 50, 60, 70 years old.
Right. Oh, I don't know if I sent it to you or not, but I did want to, before I forget, I wanted to mention Matt O'Ree as well, who's a friend of mine. Now, these people, every single person I've mentioned has been on my show, and I asked Matt O'Ree to be on my show years ago, and then they finally, it comes around, and I've had so many people already, you know, on my list. And he was on my show twice, and he was on my show when he went on tour with Bon Jovi, when he came off tour, and then he was on my show again when he had Bruce Springsteen do a song, Black Boots, on his CD. So he came on my show for that, and that was really exciting and fun, and I love Matt O'Ree and his band, and Leon Holmes, she's phenomenal. She's part of that band, but she's also part of so many other bands. But all these people are really, I consider my friends. Because I met them years ago, and I followed them for years. I stopped going out about 3 years ago because, and then I didn't even really go to the CD openings because I actually started having, and I don't like to tell everybody my problems, but I do have a back issue, and it rears its ugly head every now and then. And I am getting older when you say the 70s, hello. But, I'm going to change and change gears immediately to happy things, because that's what my show's about. I don't know if you saw it, but my brother Billy just was on stage. Bruce came out, you know, at the is at the film festival, the film and music festival in Asbury Park at the Paramount Theater, and he came out and sang three songs with Little Steven, and then he went off, and my brother came on stage with a bunch of other artists from back in the day, the Upstage Jams, and Bruce actually left the stage, walked around to the other side, everybody saw it, walked around to where my brother was standing, because he never really gets in the center of things until he's invited. My brother's very kind of one of the most, the greatest. In fact, Bruce said it in his book. He said, "Wow, there were. This is his quote. There were a lot of good musicians, good guitar players, rather, during the Upstage days. However, there was one master jazz blues player, and that's Billy Ryan." So, stage walks around to the other side where my brother is and stands there with his arms folded, just watching my brother Billy play. And it's just such a thrill for me because I run into Bruce. I run into him quite, I shouldn't say quite a bit, but, you know, he probably says, "Nancy, again, holy moly, what is she stalking me," which I never do, but I stalk anybody. But to make a long story short, you know, he calls, but he goes to neck with his head, Billy Ryan, get over here. And, of course, you know, the lights come on. They do like an 8-minute solo. You know, my brother does an 8-minute solo with Bruce. And it's, he just loves my brother. He really does. But,
that's great.
Yeah.
I
have to get in touch. I'd love to see that documentary that was done that I was in. I haven't seen it. I have to get in touch with Alessandra and say, "Did you guys ever put that out? Because I never got a copy of it." But
well,
anyway,
there's a documentary out that's the one you're thinking about. I mean, it's called Bruce and Me, and it's from the fan point of view, and these fans basically submit most of the footage. So you can check that out. I think that's either on
Netflix. Oh, maybe that's the one that I was in. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, but that's the one. That one came out, I think, a year or two ago.
Well done. I'll call her because it should have been out by now. That's when I was promoting to Michelle Moore, you know, who sang Rocky Ground with Bruce. She was on my show several times, and I was promoting the shows that she did, that the Alliance Singers did at the Stone Pony. So I'm also I'm a promoter and a producer. So I don't get, the only difference is that, guess what? I don't get paid for it. Well, I might get a CD or two every now and then and comp tickets, but that's about the size of it for me. But I'm not complaining because this is my – I have gotten, like, so many blessings in return. I mean, unbelievable blessings in return in ways that I never would imagine, like having you on my show tonight. Things, like, are just progressing, you know, being asked to, I want you in my film, and you're going to play this character. And it was my speaking debut, and I loved it. And since then, I've had other offers to do things. So, and I think you gave me an offer, too, that I really need to take it. Well, we'll talk. We got to talk. We got to do something big. My friend, on the road for 2 years. But we have to talk. There's too much to talk about, really. But
listen, I mean, you're in an area, you have to realize, like, you know, when I look back, and I think anybody that knows me from a professional level, you know, and certainly it's sort of funny, my one of my teachers just retired, you know, one of my original teachers when I moved to Florida, he had just started teaching when I was in high school, and he just retired, and he's a great, tremendous Springsteen fan like I am, and you know, at that era, and he's now a guitar player, and his daughter's a country singer and whatnot. So the reason I bring that back is, you know, without, I think Springsteen, when my cousin opened up my eyes and my ears to the music of Bruce Springsteen, it irrevocably changed my life. And it's a very big statement, but I think anybody that knows me, it's a true statement from back, people that knew me in high school, and you know, it just it changed my whole life in terms of, you know, the power of, say, Born in the USA, right, that tour. And I was still in high school in that tour. And so when I gravitate towards that, you know, that singer-songwriter mentality set. But, you know, truth of the matter is I probably wouldn't be in the entertainment business if it weren't for Bruce's music. You know, I mean, I really wasn't. I wasn't into music the way, you know, you probably were growing up, you know, being in the Jersey Shore and where you are. And I'm in Florida, you know.
I know. Are you kidding me?
So, you know.
Yeah. I met Bruce, I met Clarence Clemons in my brother's kitchen one day, one night evening when I was going over there. And then I met him many, many times. And my brother went on tour with Clarence for a year and a half as his lead guitarist. Bruce wanted my brother as his lead guitarist, but my brother's 5 years older than Bruce. And he was more, he's really a jazz blues. And he ended up being the lead guitarist with James Cotton and the James Cotton Blues Band. My brother Billy was the lead guitarist for him for a year. So he did his thing, and he's very well known. He's second on the monument in Asbury Park. I'm proud of him. I toot his horn because he doesn't toot his own. He's very humble. And so I have to, you know, I have to give him a kudos on from my show. And we always end up talking from Asbury. When you're from Asbury, you talk about Bruce. I mean, you talk because I was there at the upstage, you know. Margaret Potter, you know, the wife of the you know, manager, I mean, she used to cut my hair. She had a beauty salon. She was cut my hair all the time. So, you know, I went to school with Danny DeVito. You just, that's what you talk about, you know. And Clarence,
you know, and I think not to cut you off, but, I mean, for me, you know, at the ripe old age of 17 years old, I think I gravitated to Bruce. And, you know, this is the time when Bob Geldof put, you know, on Live Aid, and we had We Are the World. And, you know, I sort of really got in, when I saw Bruce get into these socially conscious kind of causes, and so you saw Dylan and, you know, the light there. That lit me on fire. You know, that became my impetus of getting into the music business, and you know, Bruce and my cousin. And so, you know, it was a positive thing. And I think we're sort of coming full circle now, you know, see what's going on in the world. And, you know, it's unfortunate, you know, it happened in Manchester a few weeks ago, but, you know, people rise up, and, you know, Ariana Grande came back there and did a benefit concert. And so I think, you know, there's such a power in music and the give back components of it that really are important. And I think, you know, people like Springsteen, and we're seeing a lot of artists now, and Bon Jovi, that give back in various ways and don't get the notoriety, you know, that they should. Because I think it's so important. You know, people are struggling out there, and, you know, that music is their salvation, whether it's those artists or somebody else. So I'm glad to see, you know, Ariana Grande not succumbing to the pressure. And can you imagine, you know, having a bomb, you know, at a concert? I mean, it's just inconceivable. So, you know, the music community is so much more powerful than one individual trying to bring them down. We're in a very interesting time period now. I, you know, come from Boston. I remember a few years ago, you know, during the Boston Marathon, what happened, right? And then Mark Wahlberg, who, you know, I'm in discussions about doing a show with right now. You know, Mark, you know, I'm so happy that he did the show, he did the movie he did, you know, about the Boston Marathon bombing and the story behind it. You know, and so I think that's what sort of, you know, gravitates, people need to gravitate to the positive side. And that's always been, you know, for me with Bruce and Bon Jovi and John Eddy, and what that represented to me was, you know, hope and friendship and the power of music. And I think you probably have that same feeling, but not a lot of people, you know, today, I don't know if they focus in on that as much. So if there's one thing I'd like to say, you know, look at what, you know, your artists, your favorite artists are doing, and try to follow them in a positive way. And, you know, as Pollyanna-ish as that might sound, I think we need it. You know, we need the upbeat. We need the optimism more today than ever.
Right. Yeah. Well, I really love what Danny Clinch is doing. He's just such a great guy, and he's like opening. He opened his studio up, and he also has a friend and partner. Tina is her name, and she's got this outrageously fantastic furniture, and the way she decorated this studio, his, you know, for his exhibit. And they're allowing people to come in and, you know, and do music there. I mean, he definitely stands behind and really is such a great guy as far as promoting. In fact, Bruce was up there just hanging out for a few hours last weekend. Mm-hmm. He was there for 2 or 3 hours watching, like, young artists. And I go, damn it, Nancy, why didn't you have your guitar down there? You want Bruce to hear you, don't you? Clarence heard me sing. We were both in Maui at the same time. And I finally, I used to always talk to him and say, I'm going to get you my music. I'm going to do it. I am. And he would always say, every time I saw him, he goes, well, do you have it? Do you have it? And I go, no, I'll get it to you. Don't worry. So in Maui, I did. And So I saw him. I drove over to see him with one of his best friends, and who was a friend of mine in high school. And so we went right in. There was a line around the block, and he said, don't wait in line. Get right up. Just go tell them who you are. And you'll... So we went in, and I gave him, an old a cassette tape that I finally did five songs in Texas with some. I pulled his hand, picked out some very great musicians, and he called me the next morning, Clarence Clemons, on the phone, and he said to me, my God, Nancy. I said, Clarence, what's up? He goes, I want to come over. I have something to give to you, but I wanted to tell you. He said, who was that keyboard player? I go, oh, you're kidding me. You're going to ask me about the keyboard player? You're not going to tell me about my singing on my song. Anyway, he laughed. He goes, no. He said, I'm just curious. I said, well, that was Mickey Gilley's nephew, Dennis Gilley. And I just happened to run into him, and he was, on my five songs. And he goes, Nancy, and it's exactly what he said. I quote you. He said, you have a fabulous voice, and your songs are great. If you ever do an album, I'm in. I will play on it. So that's what Clarence told me. And then by the time I came back to New Jersey, I was in San Diego then for so many years. I was living in San Diego at the time this happened when I was visiting Maui. I love Maui. And we just happened to be up downtown. He was staying down the street from me where I was staying. But to make a long story short, it's just funny. It's how things work because I called my friend from high school in Maui who I knew lived next door to George Benson. And I just said, is this so-and-so? And there were only two in Maui. And he goes, it sure is. I said, and he said, why, who is this? And I said, did you go to, and then I said his high school name. And he goes, I did. And I go, this is Nancy Ryan. He goes, I don't believe it. And then he said, listen, what are you doing tomorrow night? And I said, well, whatever I want. Why? He goes, because Clarence is playing over in Lahaina. It's about 40. Where are you? I said, in Kihei. He said, well, it's about 45 minutes. In fact, Clarence is staying in Kihei. So he said, come on up. And we'll. So that's how that happened. And I said, oh, good, because I have to bring my cassette tape. I finally finished four songs. So it was really funny. But and then
So did you end up working with Clarence or no?
What?
Did you end up working with him?
Working? No. By the time I came back to San Diego, it was so many years later. Mm-hmm. This was in my 40s when I gave him my cassette tape. And then I came back to New Jersey, and he was so sick, Clarence. And I saw him in Asbury Park, and he was in such bad shape. And I didn't even ask him at the time. And I just went ahead and I did my own. He was like on crutches. He needed people to carry him in and out from doing when they did a single. Bruce did a single inside the carousel, and it was just dead winter. And I went down and I thought, oh, I'm going to talk to Clarence. And when I saw the condition he was in, I didn't even ask to go talk to him. I just said, there's no way I'm going to ask him.
Yeah.
He was too
sick,
and so I just passed it up, but I got my friend, my friends involved. I got John Harrington, who's the lead guitarist with Steely Dan, is on my CD, my compilation CD of 12 songs. And then I got Jeff Levine, who was with Hall & Oates. He was with Joe Cocker.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Cocker passed away. He was with many huge iconic bands. He's one of the best E3 organ players, and he has his own studio, and that's where I recorded in Long Branch, so below Shore Fire, which is. Yeah. So
well, it's funny how everybody in the E Street Band, with maybe few exceptions, lives down here now part of the year. So, Bruce is here, and Clarence Mesa-West was here lived here full time, and Steve Van Zandt was down here. So, I joke around and they're not that old to live in Florida, but I guess they like the dichotomy of Jersey and California, right? But it's Clarence.
Right.
I remember on the Rising tour, I was in the front row when they played Miami, and I was there, and it was just the power. I was right. It's funny because Clarence had some eye problems at the time, if you remember, and his doctor was right next to me, and I could hear them talking about Clarence, but He and Bruce just had that, and I know you know this, but it's just to me, it was palpable. The two of them, were just palpable on stage together. I mean, I see Jungle Land,
that was awesome.
And any of the songs from Born in the USA, Born to Run, it was just so special.
Right. Yeah, and it's like I being here and my brother being in the position that he was in and playing with Bruce and Clarence and having Clarence, I mean, they were really good friends. Bruce is still good friends with my brother. They were always hanging out together. And they'd call me, come on down and have dinner. When with Bruce were in Rumson, I would never go because I was down here in Asbury Park. And I won't get into that. That's going to be in my book. But getting back to how I met Gary Talent then, too, when I was back in my 30s, because I was with my brother, and he goes, we're going over to Gary's house. So we went over to Gary's house when he was in, right. And Gary, actually, I got in touch with him when he went on a tour with his own band. And I said, you want to do a radio show? And he said, sure. And then I said, well, let's make a date. And then the next morning I get up, and in the afternoon there's a message from Gary, and it says, how about tonight? I'm like, wait a minute, Gary. I sent him back a message. I said, Gary, I can't do it tonight, honey, because it's like, well, you'll miss out on all of the promotion. And little did I know that he wasn't even going to be able to be to do the jam. It was probably just a miss. He didn't know. In other words, when he planned, whoever planned his tour with him, he didn't know that the Paramount Upstage Jam was going to happen like the day that he was already off, the day before he had to leave and go on his own tour. So he wanted me to do it then, and I just said, no, but I'd be happy any other time. Just call me and just give me a few days to do some promotion at least, or I'll do a surprise one too if you want. But by the time I got back to him, it was like, Gary, it's like, you know, we had, like, I'm a night owl, so he was 9 a.m. saying, Nancy, can we do a show tonight? And it wasn't even my night. It was, like, Tuesday. So, but like, I'm glad that there's people like, you know, Gary Talent want to do shows with me. I'm thrilled. I'll get him on one of these. In fact,
yeah,
I had Bruce to do on my show.
It's amazing.
In 2013, I saw Bruce, and we got pictures. I got pictures for my girlfriend because she's been to, like, 100 of his shows. And I said, come on, and she's all shy. Let's go. Come on. I'll send you a picture of it. But, you know, and I said to Bruce, I said, I have this radio show. He goes, you do? And he seemed really interested. And then I just looked at him. I go, oh, you know what, Bruce, you're way too big to come on my show. And I'm kicking myself ever since I said that. But, Bruce, if you're listening out there, and I do promote on a lot of his pages, but with you, Eric, you know what happened? Like, I put you on a few Bruce Springsteen pages, and then I saw that you did the videos for Bon Jovi, and I know that I'm sure that they like each other. They're both totally iconic, and they're not in competition by any means. But I thought, oh, I wonder if Bruce Springsteen fans are going to get mad at me for posting Bon Jovi's video producer.
It's all love. I mean, you got to realize,
that's what I got. Yeah. All these people that even had Bruce Springsteen pages, like, I can't mention names right now, but they're going, wow, loved your promo on his pages, you know, Land of Hopes and Dreams, and all. Oh, loved it because I put it on a few. And, of course, the interview's going on, all of them. I'm on it like 12, so, you know, well, I'm in Brazil and Portugal and in the United States as well. Oh, my God, 19 seconds they're telling me I have to go. And I didn't even, you know, I have 10 nonprofits that I have to talk about. So I guess, wow, see, I told you, the time would go so fast because I'm such a talker anyway. I'm like, oh, my God, you talk too much. You worry me to death.
It's been a lot of fun. I appreciate you having me on. Anytime you want, you know, I'll come on again. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was great. You know, I've had my friend Vinny Lopez on a few times, and then I always go, oh, I talk too much. I have my chatter teeth. Remember those chatter teeth? You wind them up. They're like plastic. You wind them up, and then they chatter. Well, I have them in front of me. Do you think they help? Nothing helps me because I don't know. I just have that personality. You know what it is? I get very excited. I mean, I'm passionate about
that. You're a great host, Nancy. Don't knock yourself. You're a great host.
Oh, thank you. I just feel bad sometimes. I'll listen to it again, and then I go, oh, Nancy, wow, can you shut up, please, a little bit? So, but everybody goes, like Vinny would go, after he was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for being the drummer with Bruce for 6.5 years, he was, you know, that's when he came first to my show. I did an hour, and people would travel all the way to Trenton, and I stopped, didn't want to travel anymore. But, you know, he would go, "Oh, Nancy, everybody loves your stories. Forget it." And I said, "Yeah, but you were just inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame." He talked to her about it 2 seconds, and that's it. And the rest of the time, we just laughed and chatted and talked about everybody else in the world. But, yes, it's been a pleasure having you on. And I sure look forward to talking to you a lot more about the music business. And everybody that's listening, please go out there and, I mean, all of the musicians in Asbury Park, you all know me, and I know you all. So please go on Inside the Music Business and connect with Eric. He's a really great guy to know. You can private message him and get in touch with him about, you know, anything, you know, about doing videos, doing documentaries, whatever it is, any questions you have. He's the man because he's got the experience. He's the go-to man. So as I put in his promo that he was kind enough to send to me, so I didn't have to do any homework. I could just put it on there. Thank you very much, Eric. You were a great guest. I look forward to talking to you again. And now I'm going to, you can hang up if you want, or you can listen to my nonprofits. But I'm going to.
Okay, Nancy. All right, very good. My pleasure. Have a great one.
Thank you so much. I'll talk to you soon, Eric. Bye-bye now.
All right, talk to you soon.
Well, that was Eric
Bye-bye.
Klein. And, you know, I really admire Eric, and he became a nice friend of mine through Facebook. You know, from the get-go, I just sent him a message, and he got back to me, and that's how it, you know, 2 years later, that was in 2015. So my nonprofits are, and these are all my friends, and they have all been on my radio show. They are Minister Steve Brigham, 10th City of Lakewood, Gregory and Karen Nixon, Helping Hands of New Jersey, Allison Saho, City of Angels Recovery Radio, Bev Cruz, Hit the Streets for the Homeless, Michael Schwartz, Hometown Heroes, Carlos Rodriguez, Director of the Food Bank of Monmouth and Ocean Counties, Paul A. Ressler, President and CEO of TUPAC, the Overdose Prevention Agency Corporation. Also, Mr. Tim McClune, founder of Holiday Express and Restaurateur, and please visit them over at the Supper Club in Asbury Park, and he's got many, many wonderful restaurants. Patricia Ario, artist, the Info Age Science History Learning Center and Museum, and I call her the Chili Artist, so she's just a wonderful artist. Check her out on Facebook, and all of these have Facebook pages too, which is wonderful. Philip Richards, the director of Jersey Shore Rescue Mission in Asbury Park, right on Monroe Avenue. If you have any time, talents, whatever it is that you have to offer these wonderful nonprofits, please get in touch with them, as they would be so appreciative. And also, the Rescue Mission has an enormous thrift shop. And, I mean, wonderful, wonderful things that you can get there. So, I will move on to my two sponsors that are just recent sponsors of mine from last year, Dr. Inna Silman, Smiles on Broadway in Long Branch, New Jersey. Dr. Silman is one of the best dentists that I have ever had, and I'll guarantee that. And she has given me a wonderful Hollywood smile so that I can be extras in films and even be doing speaking parts in films that I'm interested in now. And also, a recent, as of a month ago, going on 2 months, Dr. David Marin, he is a chiropractor. His business is the Marin Wellness Center there on Avenue of the Commons in Shrewsbury, New Jersey. He's a fabulous chiropractor. They also have physical therapy there, and the physical therapist is a doctor. They have acupuncture, and it's a wonderful, wonderful place for any kind of healing for your body, your mind, your spirit, because we all know when you have a bad back or any kind of problems, it affects your whole being. With that said, I am going to be a nice, good girl and get off the line because I've been on overtime, which I usually end up doing. Okay, everybody, thank you so much for tuning in to Ryan Knox's Asbury Park Style. All of my shows are archived for your listening pleasure and your convenience. Good night, and bless you. Bye-bye.